Bandwidth for Inside the Net is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 21 for May 9th, 2006, Claim ID. Inside the Net, we're back with something that is exactly the kind of thing that I always thought we'd cover on Inside the Net, and yet in many ways very challenging because it's kind of hard to understand. Amber MacArthur, hello. How are you today?
Hey, Leo. Good. How are you doing?
You for the first to show me Claim ID.
Yeah, I discovered it a while ago. I think someone sent me a link to it. And what it is a service that allows you to go online and claim which sites you would like people to know are, in fact, about you, which is a little bit confusing. Visually, you definitely want to see how it works. But
well, a good example is the web designer Josh Peek, who uses this for himself. And if you go to claimid.com/Josh, you can see his page of stuff that's about him, by him, stuff that is kind of part of him.
Exactly, or stuff that's not about him.
Yeah, at the bottom of stuff, this is not my MySpace.
Exactly. So if there's someone else out there named Josh Peek and he has a MySpace account, then in fact, what Josh is saying in his Claim ID page is that that is not him, if that makes any sense.
Right.
It's a little bit confusing, but it's a really great service for anyone out there who's worried about kind of protecting their online identity and making sure that, you know, instead of people doing Google searches and digging up information, they in fact go to one place with information that has been verified by them.
Right. I guess we should just launch into it. Who are we going to be talking to?
We have Terrell Russell and Fred Stutzman. Is that correct?
That's
pronunciation.
Right. Yeah.
Fred Stutzman on the line. And we are going to talk to you guys about Claim ID, which is a service where you allow people to claim what search results are in fact true that turn up in a search engine like Google so that you can really control any misinformation that is published online. So let's start. Maybe we'll start with you, Terrell, if you want to just explain in your own words what Claim ID is all about.
Well, you got it pretty close. We're careful about using the word control. The ability for us to control what's coming out of the search engine results is not really possible. We've got the ability to kind of allow people to manage how their results are presented on their page, and then so the idea is that you go out and you collect the things that are, you know, either by you or about you that are out there, and put them in one place on your Claim ID page, and gives you a chance to sort them, kind of describe them a little bit, mark them up somehow, give some tags, give it a good title, and put it back out there. And then the idea is that the search engines will work out that this page that you've created is extremely relevant, and reward you with great placement. So that when someone is trying to figure out, you know, who you are or what you're about, then, you know, this page will show up and give you a voice. A lot of people don't necessarily feel like they have a voice. They go and they search for themselves, and, you know, what they see is what they get, and they never actually consider, you know, step two as, you know, I can do something about this.
Terrell, you and Fred, or actually maybe it's Fred, you and Terrell are both doctoral students, yes, at UNC Chapel Hill.
Correct.
And you both came back from the Internet Identity Workshop in Mountain View. Why did you start Claim ID, Fred? And what is the need you're filling?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess you could say we started Claim ID because we wanted to give people a way to empower themselves. Well, when someone searches for themselves, their identity is sort of created by what a search engine says is about you. And obviously, there's more stuff about you online than what matches your name, if you want to actually look at sort of a whole picture of someone's identity.
Well, also, there's the issue as if your name is John Smith, you're going to get a lot of hits to some other John Smith.
That's right. So if somebody has a name like John Smith, they sort of lose out when they're searched. And that can really affect the jobs they get, who they, I guess, could date, that sort of thing. I mean, let's face it, everybody's sort of looking each other up. And if you have a common name, you lose out.
Yeah, Amber and I don't have that issue. If you search for Amber MacArthur or Leo Laporte, you find us right away.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can see that would be a big issue for other people. I never even thought about the dating angle of it, but you're right. I mean, before you go out with somebody, you Google them.
Now, you're not spending time enough on a college campus, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, and for good reason. I don't think my wife would like that. So how do you – tell us what it would look like then if – so let's say Amber has a hot date with a guy named John Smith who happens to have a Claim ID page. She goes to Google and searches for John Smith. Now what happens?
Well, one of the things that we're not trying to do is we're not trying to sort of replace your identity on the net. We're trying to give you a way to talk about the rest of your identity on the net. And if you have a web page or something like that, it makes sense that you'd go out, create a claim ID, and link to it. The claim ID would then sort of help cluster and make your search results a little bit more useful.
So she should search for John Smith space claim ID?
Now that is that's a very interesting thing, and I would really love to see people doing that because we think that makes a lot of sense. But if somebody did search your name and your claim ID, it would come right up. And because you can put in that sort of contextual information that separates you, where you're from, a picture, other things that would sort of establish your identity, people can actually sort of start realizing, this is actually the person I'm looking for online. They don't have to do that disambiguation process with the search engine.
How's it going to scale, though, when there's 12 John Smiths on
Claim ID? That was my next question. I'm thinking you go there, you search John Smith, and you find a claim ID for John Smith. Then, how do you know if it's the John Smith you're looking for? And if you are that John Smith, then how do you distinguish yourself from other John Smiths using Claim ID?
Well, this is Terrell again. I mean, this problem already exists. I mean, we're not obviously creating a problem here. I mean, this is something that goes on every day. And it's the same thing if you're looking for a particular, you're shopping for something in a store and you see it in the store, you're trying to figure out what it is. If you've got, a particular model number, or you've got a particular color or something, then all those other pieces of contextual information are going to allow you to decide whether you are looking at what you had seen earlier. And the same thing works for, looking up people. If you know where they live or you know a little bit about them, where they went to school, something like that, then, all of that stuff is going to be relevant. And depending on how well they've, captured and collected the things about them and thought this through for themselves, then, the easier it will be for you to decide that, you've found the right one.
Well, what does Claim ID add to the mix then? I mean, I can disambiguate myself by just saying, search for Leo Laporte and TWIT.
Right. Well, a lot of people haven't worked out necessarily how to make a web page. We're not the customers of Claim ID aren't necessarily the people who own their own name.com. Not necessarily the people who are, have access to web servers or can watch their logs and
or
things.
Have TV shows.
right.
Can
we're definitely
us.
Talking about people who might be having this name disambiguation problem because they're not necessarily already notable.
So what happens? I'm still trying to visualize this. Do I search for my name and claim ID? How does this work? Or do I go to my web page? How does it work? I'm still not sure I understand it.
Basically, the way it would work is I think we're not trying to replace any of the ways people already work. So you would search for someone. You'd search for them online. And if they have an online identity, you'd find their claim ID because they'd link to it. But if they say didn't have a yourname.com domain, blog, that sort of thing, their claim ID would eventually come up. Now, obviously, if they're way, way, way down in the search engines, it does create a different situation. But for a lot of people, the way the claim ID page is created, it means that you're actually going to be more findable. We can't make any guarantees, but we can make you more findable. And that's sort of a step forward because, you know, in the end, our audience really is that student that has, you know, a couple things about them online and they want to actually place some context around it because, you know, maybe they did it when they were 18 and now they're 21 and on the job market. So it's sort of a different situation. And also, we're seeing a lot of people actually saying, well, this is something that's going to go on my resume, which, you know, sort of makes sense to us, but we're actually really jazzed to see people doing it.
So you call it, I was looking on your website and you call this really kind of like a link resume. So right. The idea is that you could put this on your resume, maybe on your signature in an email, and then people could go there so they knew, you know, they know that you, in fact, have verified all those things that they might potentially find online are true. Is that a common way that people are using this right now?
Yeah, and that's we really like seeing people doing that because it really tells us that they sort of get the concept. That is a great place that Claim ID stands in. Because, you know, you can obviously represent yourself online any way you want. You can point to your blog. But when you point to your Claim ID, you're getting that sort of full picture of the identity that they're only going to get if they search for you and go through a disambiguation process.
Yeah, we've had a couple people who have actually either pointed their full domain to their Claim ID page. You know, you actually go to their name and it points to their page. Or they've replaced their about page. So instead of having an about page on their own site, they can point to us, and we're able to, you know, have them collect everything that's out there somewhere else on their, you know, not necessarily on their site.
So Amber, are you using this? Can I go to your site?
Yeah, I haven't used it on my site yet. I've signed up, I've been approved, and I've gone through the process.
I haven't been approved yet. How
it works. You'll get approved soon, I'm sure, Leo. And, you know, it seems really neat. One thing I do like about it, even though people may search for Amber MacArthur, you know, what may end up coming up are a bunch of links that, you know, they might be about me, but they may not necessarily be true. So
well, we do have that problem. There's fan pages and there's weird pages.
Exactly. There's pages of things that aren't true and that I don't like and maybe kind of misrepresent stuff that I'm doing. So it's nice to know I can go and I can say with my Claim ID, this is in fact my Flickr account. This is my MySpace account in case someone is trying to pretend they're me on right. MySpace and those types of things. So it really helps me to, you know, I know you don't like to use the word control, but for me, it seems like it gives me some control over what I'm telling people are in fact links and articles and comments that are about me and stuff that I think factually represents myself.
So if I go to your site, Amber, and I see a Claim ID bug, the little logo, I click that. And that goes to a Claim ID page that says Amber approves these sites. These are the sites that belong to Amber, or Amber says are okay.
Right. And of course, she can say other things. You know, we
don't
give them
believe
a box
this site. So you could do that, too. You could say this site is wrong.
Of course. Yeah. And, you know, that's again, it's all we're just adding a layer, you know, the layer of the person's voice on top of the search results that are already there.
It's kind of interesting. I know one person who's using it. His name is Josh Peek. I think he might be a designer. And I've seen his Claim ID page. And it's interesting because he'll say, you know, these pages do not represent me or they're not about me. For instance, there's a Josh Peek on MySpace. That is not him. So what he's kind of saying is he's saying instead of necessarily having to go to Google to do a Google search of him, he's giving you kind of some of the results, but he's really, I don't want to say censoring them, but he's kind of gone through them and, you know, approved them in some ways. And
that's actually
stuff
useful.
That he wants you to see.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy posing as me on MySpace. In fact, so I could put that in my Claim ID, saying, you know, this looks like me. That's my picture, but it's not me. Mm-hmm. That would be useful.
And this process of people collecting the links is actually very useful because, I mean, let's you know, it's sort of a false assumption to say that the most valuable things are going to show up, you know, at the top in the search engine. There could be an article about a project you worked on that may not explicitly mention your name, and that could be like, you know, in the 10th or 11th page of Google. And with Claim ID, you can actually pull it out of there and say, well, this is actually something very important about me, and put it right on top of your Claim ID. So there's really something to be said for that.
I'm sure it's more useful now, too, when so many people have some kind of presence online. You know, there's a lot of bloggers, a lot of podcasters, a lot of people with websites, articles being written about them, in terms of them really being able to, you know, just go through and, you know, again, kind of have an online resume or a resume of links, which I think is sort of the way you'll see a lot of people's resumes as we move forward.
What is your
agree more?
So when you were at the Internet Identity Workshop, is this the kind of thing that addressed? I mean, that's the kind of issues that people are facing.
Well, I was just getting ready to say something about that. We were out there for 3 days, and we were out there for longer, but the conference was for 3 days. And it turns out that a lot of the people that are there are working on at this point in time, they're working on a lower level. They're trying to work out the verification issues. How do you authenticate people? Can you carry these credentials around with you so that when you log into a particular place, it already knows that you're somebody that's been somewhere else? You can prove that you're over 21 or whatever,
right,
something like that.
Right.
And we're working, and so we had a lot of people coming up to us for the first time and say, trying to figure out if we were a competitor or if we were, kind of where we were, where we stood. And for the most part, we're waiting on them to work all that stuff out, because all that stuff is hard. They're doing the stuff where the machines can speak to one another, creating the protocols and creating the layers where, all this identity stuff is actually verifiable and provable. And what we're doing is we're adding, the human layer that's really not there right now. You go to Google, you get some results, and it's really up to the human mind, your own, to work out, what's topical, what is relevant. You have to go through this process of sorting the things that are, not the right John Smith. And so what, we're doing is allowing the person themselves to actually help you with that. If you're looking for the person who's already gone through this process for you and you find it, then they've saved you a lot of time. So, roughly, no one else was solving the same problem that we were while we were there.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's surprising, because that's the first problem that comes to mind. I mean, I see the issues with authentication with spam, and of course, that's been a long-standing battle over email authentication.
Of course.
But that really is a different level, as you say.
Yeah, it's a much more mathematical problem. It's an engineering issue, and we're not solving an engineering issue here. Although, when the engineering issue is much more palatable to real people, and not the people who are inventing protocols and IETF standards, we can use all of that. We can allow you to actually use some of that math to verify things and to use your digital fingerprints and signatures and things like that. But we're not there yet.
So what was the response at the workshop to Claim ID? Because do they see it as something that, because maybe it's not considered to be, a lot of technical engineering, but it is useful from a human standpoint. What was the response to what you guys are doing?
Well, I think the response was actually pretty great. Because, as Cheryl said, we sort of did sit down and talk with people and realized we were working on different levels. But when we talk about Claim ID, when we sort of talk about the concept, people get it. I mean, this is something that everyone gets, because everyone has either Googled themselves or Googled somebody else, and they sort of know. They're a little bit uncomfortable with that. So it was great to sit down with them and talk about the idea, because as Cheryl said, we're really not their competitor, actually. We're waiting on them. We are the layer that sits a little bit above them. We're building, I guess, a consumer application on top of that identity stack. And really, when they look at us and we look at them, it's sort of like, mutual interests, really. And there are so many different kinds of verification coming about. We're sort of sitting here going, well, why not? Let's support them all. We're trying to build something that the consumers really would find useful. And, basically building a consumer-friendly application on top of the hard identity stuff, it got a really good response, I'd say.
And so how did you guys start working on this together? Because you're doing your PhDs, both of you, and have you been working on it for a while or had the idea for a while? Could you just talk a little bit about the whole process to getting this online?
You can take that, Terrell.
I could tell Fred's story.
That sounds good.
Yeah, Fred. I'm going to tell Fred's
They're
story.
They're librarians.
Well, somewhat, I guess.
I think that's really kind of exciting, because this is where library science and information is merging with information science.
This is sitting right at the crossroads.
Yeah.
We look at this and we say, these are the problems that information science departments need to be addressing. I mean, this is... We feel very at home addressing this problem.
I think that's great. Okay, now tell his story.
I guess it started last fall, middle of last fall, and we were both getting to the point in our classes where we might start actually having classes ourselves, where people, you know, might come to class and expect us to teach them things. And when we started working out that, you know, we had all this stuff out there about us that you know, these students might start finding, it was a different perspective to take on things. All of a sudden, we had to be respectable and such. So when working through that, we decided, well, this is something we can actually affect. And then obviously, it grew from there to do, this is a very common problem, and everyone's actually going to have to deal with this very soon. The most obvious kind of straightforward case study is going to be these students who, you know, currently have MySpace and currently have a blog and all these kind of things. And when they graduate in, you know, a year or two or four, and all these pictures are online and all these conversations that have been recorded, we're really trying to get them to, you know, see that this is very important. This is going to affect their lives for a very long time. And you know, if we can raise this level of conversation and awareness, then, you know, we feel like we've done our job.
So is this Fred's story? I think there's more to the story.
Oh, well, I can thank a classmate of mine who came to class every day complaining about her Google search results. And, you know, I Googled her, and it wasn't that bad. You know, it was like a theater production that the person was involved in. But I thought about this, and I realized that here's this thing. I mean, it's not even that bad, but it causes this person this much sort of emotional angst. I mean, they think about it, they talk about it out loud, and they can't do anything about it. And just about the same time, I took a job interview in which I basically spent 7 hours answering questions about what people found about me online. I mean, I had some resume.
That's painful.
It is. And thankfully, Terrell and I had sort of gone through this process where we cleaned up a bunch of stuff. But, I mean, that's really what the job search is becoming like. And, you know, I had sent a resume in, and I took very few questions off my resume, and I took a lot of questions off my online identity. And I realized that, you know, if I wasn't Fred Stutzman, if I didn't have sort of a unique name, I'd lose out, you know, or I'd have a different set of problems. And so Terrell and I sort of sat down one day, and we diagrammed what we thought the problem set was. And we said, well, heck, you know, I mean, we can do this. We can give it a shot. We can actually try and start solving this problem and, you know, get a conversation going. And we said, you know, maybe even if nothing comes of it, we started a conversation that we think is really, really important. And so that's where we stand today.
And then 5 months later, we had had something to show for it.
Yeah.
How did you just, I'm going to ask some really lame techie stuff. I'm just curious. Ruby on Rails, how did you do this?
Yeah, it's Ruby on Rails.
Yes, it was Ruby on Rails before Rails went to 1.0.
So great, because you could quickly prototype something like this and just whip it out.
Quickly prototype. Right. And our code is simple enough that we didn't have any of some of the migration issues that some other applications had
when
Rails moved around a little bit. Yeah.
And so it's still in Rails?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's scaling well for you?
Oh, it scales incredibly well. That has been the thing that we really take away from this. I've talked to a number of people who are considering building Rails applications, and I mean, our scalability is fantastic. We keep pushing our goals for, you know, when we actually need to move off of shared space, and it's sort of a long ways in the future. So it's scaling very well.
That's really neat. How many people are using Claim ID right now?
I think as of this morning, the number was about 3,200.
Add one, because I just got my invitation.
That's great.
Good to hear.
What are some of your plans for the future? I mean, are you guys planning on leaving school and you know, selling this? I know one of you was at startup school. What do you think's in store for
us? This is being recorded, right?
Yes, but that's okay, because it can all be erased. In fact, sometimes it does get erased by accident.
We're gonna need to claim this later on.
I have the negatives.
But yes, no, we're very valuable. We'll sell. No, just kidding. Actually, I think we're looking to sort of stay in school to really work this out. We're in a unique place because we don't have people telling us where's the revenue. And we've also got some pretty unique ideas that, you know, identity doesn't have to be hard, that we can sort of make Claim ID a place that you go and you trust, and will always give you sort of these really simple identity solutions to these sort of complex problems. And we really want to build on top of that because, you know, obviously, I think a new way of looking at identity is saying, well, my identity online begins with the stuff about me. And so we can obviously give you a lot of stuff on top of that. So, you know, we're going to, as far as I know, we're gonna stick in school. We're going to really work on Claim ID a lot this summer because Daryl and I both don't have classes. And we're really going to try and polish it up and just keep it super simple and keep it a place that, you know, when people sort of have these complex identity problems, they know they can go to Claim ID and get the solutions they need. That's sort of the goal, I think.
What's your dream?
Daryl, what's your dream?
A dream?
For Claim ID, are you?
Daryl wants to retire by the time he's 30. That's what he keeps
saying. Yeah, I've been telling everyone that I'm going to retire by 30.
Okay.
I'm running out of time.
So how do you monetize this? If you're going to retire...
Well, so that's plan B. We haven't got, or I guess part B. We haven't gotten to part B yet. We're not really sure about that part yet. We're working on some partnerships and things where we can provide, you know, the ability to, we're adding that layer. And, you know, in terms of figuring out how to make any money, it is a discussion that's ongoing.
Well, there's some value to this because if Claim ID logos start appearing, I presume that's the way most of the time the interface will work, is I'll put a Claim ID logo on my website, right? That you would then click to go to my Claim ID page.
That's how these search engines give value to each other is the links, right? So the more inbound links that you have, you know, obviously there's many other factors, but
create an RSS feed, which is kind of neat. So people could subscribe to my Claim ID RSS feed.
Sure, sure. So if you're very active and adding lots of things, if people are writing about you, articles are showing up, and you know, and you're claiming them as being, you know, part of who you are, then that would appear in their RSS.
What would someone put on a resume? Is there an actual ID number?
For your Claim ID page?
Yeah, I'm just curious
Your user ID. So it's your URL.
So mine would be claimid.com/LGL, which is what I foolishly chose as my login.
There you go.
I should have chosen Leo.
You can make another account. You can inflate our numbers. That's okay with us.
Can you change Leo LGL to Leo? Probably somebody already has Leo. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, so, I was just curious because I was thinking if someone has the same name, you know, what you would do about that. Because an ID number seems like a neat way to be able to, you know, put down a 5-digit ID number or something like that on a resume. It's pretty straightforward.
Right, but that's so impersonal.
We've
run into this. Obviously, there's other, you know, every other service that's using textual identifiers runs into the same namespace problem. So it is something that has been navigated by, you know, people, and people have worked out that, you know, this is not simple, but at the same time, they've also worked out that it's not that hard either. You know, you pick something that you're willing to go with.
And you just go with it. If someone wants to sign up for this, how do they get started?
They can just go to claimid.com, and right now we're still under beta, which means that we're, you know, monitoring our scaling and create account creation. So put your email address in there, and it shows up in our little list, and you know, 5 to 10 seconds later, you'll magically maybe a couple of minutes or hours.
Because they're doing it by hand.
right now.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to mention is you support the H-Card standard, which as I gather is a micro format for identity. Is that correct?
Yep. It's just like a V-Card, but it's an H-Card, sort of a identity place on the net, I guess.
Why do we need H-Cards? Is it a different use?
Yeah, it's slightly a different use. When you're sort of establishing, I guess, your place on the net, the H-Card's nice because it'll allow you to track back to that URL place. But there's sort of a couple other neat things that go along with microformats. And we support a number of microformats, actually. We've got micro ID in the page. All this stuff, the consumer doesn't necessarily need to see this. It's, you know, sort of hard to work that out, but we do it for you. And the bonus you'll get is that as browsers become more in tune to microformats, the semantic web, that sort of thing, you'll get all those value-added benefits from things like the H-card or the micro-ID.
Let me ask you about micro-ID, because, for instance, now I have a micro-ID snippet because I've added twit.tv to my claim ID page.
Yeah.
I can put this snippet into the meta tags of the HTML for the page. What would be the benefit of doing that?
Basically, the micro-ID is a unique identifier that lets you basically claim authorship of a page. Now, somebody could essentially hijack a micro-ID. It's not a
perfect
visible system.
It's in the meta tags.
Yeah. But it's a system that's starting, a conversation of how do we start, tracking that the stuff that we create back to our identity.
Right.
And the micro-ID is, it's an evolving standard. It debuted a month and a half ago, that sort of thing.
Wow.
But that's the thing about Claim ID is we can give you this stuff right away, and you don't have to think about it,
Right.
And otherwise, you'd have to be computing hashes and that sort of thing.
Right.
We want to make that a little bit easier and actually give you the benefit.
So I've added the micro ID. The beauty of this is very simple to do. I've just added it to twit.tv. Now, presumably, somehow other pages or other things will see this and say, oh, yeah, you belong, or...
Yeah, I think...
nobody's using it yet, probably.
Yeah, now that the micro-ID has been invented, people have to invent the micro-ID applications. Yeah, so, it's on the cutting edge. But one of the nice things about the microformats, one of the things we're trying to do is, we really support that movement. We think it's a really powerful movement.
I agree. I'm very excited about it, yeah.
And, if we can enable people with this stuff, and actually get them to think about it and not get them thinking that it's hard, that we can actually do this stuff for them, I think we're at least giving a little bit back. We're trying to help.
Yeah, well, it is easy. In fact, I'm slowly adding all of this stuff to my Claim ID page, so...
I know. Yeah. I want to get started adding stuff right now.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, you see, that's what I do on this podcast. I let Amber do the work, and I just use the toys as we talk. Oh, this is cool.
It's perfect, Liam.
I'm emulating the listener who's going along saying, oh, yeah.
No, that's one of the nice things about it. It's really a simple idea, and, it's a simple process to sign up, and definitely a useful thing for anyone who has ever Googled themselves or done a little ego surfing and wants to kind of clean up what's out there.
That's right.
And it's only going to become bigger. That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we'll be watching.
Oh, just fascinating stuff. I do this every time, and I apologize, Amber. It's not that I'm not paying attention, but every time we talk about these things, I want to try it.
I know.
So at the beginning of this podcast, I had nothing. I now have Claim ID /Leo.
I know. It's pretty amazing how fast you can build your ID on Claim ID.
Yeah.
I've been doing the same thing throughout the podcast, is adding pages. And I almost want to have this really long, rich page of content that I've, kind of said is mine. Because, we have no control over what results are showing up in Google. But with something like this, I feel like you can have a tiny little bit of control.
I'm going to add some not me sites, because there, as always happens there, I'm sure this happens to you too, there are sites that are not about us that claim to be about us. So
that's one of the problems. Why I think a service like this is really great is my dad just a while ago discovered Google and decided to Google my name. And he came across some things that weren't necessarily true or weren't things that I had kind of condoned or been involved in. And he didn't really know how to differentiate between all the different links. So now I can get him to subscribe to my Claim ID account and say, Dad, as stuff comes out or I do interviews or there's things out there, read what's on here, because that stuff is the stuff that, is definitely true.
So you gave your dad your Claim ID page and said, this is what's right.
Well, I'm starting to build it right now. So that's what my plan is, to do that, just so that, when he does any type of Google searches, that he understands that, in fact, he should go to Claim ID if he wants to see stuff that is, stuff that I've been involved in and stuff that I've kind of approved and said that it is, in fact, about me again. Just because, what it's like, there's people out there, they could have a similar name, or they could, want for some reason to pretend that they're, Leo Laporte. And then all of a sudden, when a relative or friend is a Google search, it. They don't know what to say. They assume the worst, right?
Oh, my God. Who is this?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, and especially, I think that's true of naive web users, which is often family and friends, who just say, well, it's on the net. That's got to be Amber's page, right? It says it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Exactly. They don't understand it. You know, there could be pictures of you, information about you, and they don't really get it. So I think, you know, as we were just chatting about, as, you know, time goes on and more people have more things about them online and published, and that people are moblogging, taking pictures of everybody, putting them on Flickr, there's going to come a point where you don't want all that information out there, and you want to be able to somehow, you know, validate the stuff that you think is worth validating.
We talked more with the guys off the air about Ruby on Rails. And once again, it's a very, very impressive development environment. It's amazing. In fact, as we were talking, I found a bug with which they fixed as we were talking. And I don't think you could have done that very easily in any other language. Ruby just on Rails makes it so easy.
Yeah, it's nice that we're testing out all these services while we're doing the podcast, trying to break them down.
Amber, has summer finally come to Toronto? It's so nice and warm here. I feel bad for you up there.
You know what? It's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, good.
So next time you get up to Toronto, you'll be amazed how nice it is. Hallelujah. The weather has really shifted. It's a beyond patio weather.
BPW in Toronto. Everybody head on up.
We can't wait till you get back here.
And we do have, I think, some good news about Call for Help coming soon. I won't tip our hands yet, but I think you're going to be able to see us all over the world soon, we hope. Of course, you can always see Amber and her buddy Mike on Command N at commandn.tv. That's her video podcast that comes out every Monday, and it's always great. In fact, that's the first place you might have heard about Claim ID. What else? Call for Help and Command N. Anything else I should plug?
Torrent, I guess.
Oh,
the
I forgot.
New show
Your
I'm
new
doing
show.
Torrent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a weekly one-hour show that we're doing. And funny enough, there's torrents of torrents at Torrent out. I can't even say it right. So it's a weekly one-hour show where we put the best video podcast segments that we find each week on an hour-long show. So,
but you're very clever, because by naming it Torrent, you made it absolutely impossible to find on BitTorrent.
I know. I never thought of that when I was doing it.
It's very smart.
Yes, it's very smart. But in fact, it's relatively findable. If you want to find Torrent, you can
find it. And we are going to make that available also in a new and an exciting way, which you'll just have to listen to find out. Of course, we want to thank our good friends at AOL Radio for providing us with the bandwidth for this podcast. AOL.com/podcasting. And Amber, I hate to hang up, because I always love talking to you so much. I guess I'll see you next week.
Yeah, definitely.
Another Tuesday, another Inside the Net. Take care.